Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to We Are Everyday People. It is Tuesday, August 4th, and first of all, let me turn this thing down because I'm hearing myself. Okay. Now take that. All right. Okay. Decided to put this show together today. I always have some things to talk about. I'm thinking about things. I always write, you know, brain. I got a bunch of notes sitting in front of me right now. But one of the main reasons I wanted to come on today is because I'm going into my third year of doing this radio show. This is after about 3 years of contemplating doing this show because I might come close. I get cold feet, nervous, never been to be really grown up as a kid. I was always that quiet guy sitting on the end of the couch at the parties watching everybody else dance, observing everything I saw, everything I saw. And so I was a late bloomer thanks to Facebook and some of the forums that platform the upgrade. So I had to go ahead and I followed through with the show. I'm going into my third year now. Shows it's not easy. Mark my word. I'm my work. Believe me. Criticize me for you better believe I've already jumped on me about that same thing. But interviews. I've interviewed Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. Interviewed Professor Griff. I've interviewed all of you. I've interviewed taken something from and. Been beautiful. It's been challenging. It's been tense at some. It's been interesting. I tell you, it has been interesting. I enjoy it. And what I do was branch out. And I'm going to go from a station. I'm going to upgrade this guy and go on full blast into a network. I'm gonna let it flow. We're gonna see how it goes. I have a lot to say. I have talked to a few already who read enthusiastically, for which I am humbled that they have agreed so enthusiastically in the team and hosting shows on this yet to be named network. I will now in a minute or so. I'm looking forward. This is a challenge and it's work. It's a lot of work, man. It's not easy. Not for me. Now, it may be easy for some people. And if it's easy for you, I'll take my hat off to you. But it's not so easy for me. Believe me, I'm doing my on my ways, doing my best. With a little knowledge. And yeah, say with a little knowledge compared to I'd like to know some of the people I look up to who are mentors to me. And which is why I want to branch, because we need more perspective. We need more points of views. Singles have the same kind of get. We need to somehow use whatever mediums we can to get our word out so we can do something to counter the issues that are of us, the whole world, that have us wondering, no respect, without taking heed to the images that are projected of us throughout the whole world by the various medias that are out there now. So what I'm just trying to do is, you know, my little to, if I can do anything else, is to get people to think a little deeper, to come out of that comfort zone that you so willingly ball yourself up into and feel good fairy tale type of situations, instead of looking at the real deal, instead of recognizing what you see every day with your very eyes that you don't acknowledge because you've been so well trained to not see. You've been trained to just go by faith and whatever. But I don't want to get too deep into that. My purpose is to, unless somebody calls and wants to get deeper, I'll go with you. But I want to branch out and give more people opportunities to speak their mind. And hopefully this can branch out and snowball and network. And maybe this can be something, you know, big or whatever the word is, but it'll be worthy for those who take the time to listen and consider the things that are being said on the stage, on the station, and just come out of that comfort zone, because we are too complacent. We are too complacent. If it don't make us feel good, we don't want to be bothered with it. We prefer entertainment. As long as we're being entertained, we're cool. But we don't tend to look deeper into that entertainment and what the core and goal of this entertainment is. Because a lot of the entertainment that we enjoy has contributed into the state that we're in right now. And we're so busy being entertained that we don't even notice it. And then when somebody brings it up to you, you know, the old saying when I came up is that will set you free. Yeah, I believe that. Problem is, not enough people really want to know what it is, the truth that is. They want to believe, but they don't really care to know what the real truth is. And the truth is not complicated, because it's happening right in front of your face every day. It's logical. It's realistic. It's not a belief. It's not make-believe. It's what is. It's what's happening. So moving on, I'm going to run down the names of some of the future hosts that we're going to have on the show. We'll have some weekly, some will be monthly. I am still looking for contributors. I really want this to grow and snowball. I'm working on a web page with bios and a blog. I really want this to give this all I have. And we're going to just let this flow. I'm confident. I've got some good support. I'll run down a list of names so far who have agreed on and contribute their knowledge. And these people who I have on are, I've, with the exception of a couple, all through Facebook. It's all come from friends of friends, from me reading posts, from me seeing how one can generate a post that engages people and causes a long conversation. I like that. You know, I've had some challenging debates with a couple other people on the list here. Very respectful. We've agreed to disagree. We agree on some things, but we have the same common goal. And I appreciate that, which is why I extended offers to each and every one of these individuals. And I'm not done yet, but I'll go with my first one is actually Brother Jimmy Williams. And Jimmy already has a show on the network, which I'll call it now. It's on a Monday night called Real People from the Hood at 7 o'clock. I think it is what it is. Real People from the Hood. If you have virgin ears, you might not want to tune in. This is not Jubilee Showcase. And this is not Sunday morning. This is Saturday night in the hood. Okay. So that's the Jimmy Williams show. He will continue with that same show. He runs his own show. He does his thing. I support him. I'm not going to have any control. I'll be trying to control these hosts. This will be their show. They will produce what they want to discuss. They will have whatever guests choose to have on. I will be involved in the background. I'll be at the controls. I'll be engaging in conversation if they choose for me to engage. If I perhaps have a question, I will ask, but I will stay out of their way. And this will be the show of the hosts. I will continue with the show. It'll be much like I'm doing now. It's pretty much a roving show. I'll get it in when I get it in. And, you know, we'll keep flowing with that. But I really want to get these new people in. Jimmy has been doing a real good job, man. He's a owner of Abstracts T-Shirts, which is the ad that we do during the show. Jimmy was one of the first businesses who we got together and did an interview. And we put together an ad for his business and run it on this show. You'll be hearing it. And I appreciate Brother Jim. We've been holding each other up. We've been supporting each other. Next brother here is Dan Lee. Dan Lee is one of those. Dan Lee says he wants the name of his show to be Liberal and Proud of It. And I say, Brother Dan, if that's what you want it to be, then that's what the name will be. The Dan Lee Show. Liberal and Proud. Dan is a down to earth brother. He brings it. He's always dropping some knowledge on the Facebook page. He sends them to my timeline. He the things that I really appreciate this knowledge because it needs to expand. You know, I have my pet peeves and I have my focuses, but we need more than that because I can tend to get a little repetitive with my issues. But with these people I have coming on the show, that's going to change. I'm looking forward to having Dan Lee. I'm really looking forward to having Dan Lee on the show. Diane Martin is a world-renowned author. She is also a playwright. She's an author of a few books, Somebody Else's Baby, which I've read, Some Leaves, which I've read, excellent books. She's written the play Somebody Else's Baby. I had the honor of interviewing Diane. This is July, about a year or so ago. And I actually interviewed pretty much the entire cast on the radio show. I have that's in the archives if you ever want to go back and listen to it. It's a pretty good interview. I enjoyed that interview. It was actually one of my better interviews. So looking forward to having Diane Martin on. Brother Jesse Evans. Jesse Evans, we've had some interesting debates, very respectful. We agree on a lot of things. We agree on most things. We disagree on a couple of things, and we both agree those we'll never agree on. And I'm sure we'll get into that later. But Jesse is a good dude. I consider Jesse, I don't know if he agrees or not, but on the conservative side, but he's also liberal. I wouldn't call Jesse a Republican at all. I think Jesse just a little more conservative, but we're down for the same things. We have the same basic interests at heart. And I think Jesse's going to have a monthly show, and I think he's going to do real forward to his input. As well as everybody else's. I'm going to back up to, I want to back up. I haven't gotten there yet. But Jesse, looking forward to the show. Young lady, Cheryl Catherine Wash. Now, this one's interesting because I've been reading her post, And they always seem to strike a lot of dialogue. I've had a couple of really, really interesting and in-depth dialogues from her Facebook page. And one of them actually got pretty heated. Of course, you know, that had to be pertaining to religion, but it is what it is. But she's always putting something out on the page that's thought-provoking. I enjoy reading her Facebook. I enjoy reading her post. And she has the same appreciation and respect for my writings. So I'm looking forward to having Sister Cheryl Catherine Wash on the show. All the dates and times for the show that's pending, I'm just going over who's who and what I'm trying to do. Another young lady, Rosita Shatanda has agreed to join the team. Same as with Cheryl, Catherine Wash, and everybody else. All these individuals have dynamite posts, dynamite comments, and really have generate great dialogues. And that's what I like. And we come from different angles, but with the same common goal. Maurice Bledsoe, actually a cousin of mine. He's a regular caller. He comes from a little younger generation, but he is going to join the team. We're not sure how, you know, where he'll fit in at or how often, but he will be a contributor. We have Samuel Doyle, who's a cousin of mine coming out of Michigan. I consider him a mentor of mine. I actually haven't gotten a response from Sam yet, but I did tag him on the invitation to the show tonight. Hope Samuel hears this, and maybe if this can convince him to come on and do a show on the network. Sam was a really, really bright, really super bright brother, and he speaks at a high level. He makes some real good sense, and I would recommend that you all connect with all of these individuals who I mentioned on Facebook, and just check out their post. I have a brother, Daryl James, who had a show, but he's working on some things out of LA right now, and we've texted each other and talked about it, and he's going to be coming on and joining me and hosting some shows with me, and I'm really looking forward to that. He's probably one of the closest ones to my own thinking than any of the people I've listed here. And another brother who is actually holding on right now and listening, I see his number there, and I'm going to extend an offer to Brother Carl Sanderson also, if he wants to be a contributor, a regular contributor to the show, and we'll be picking up on Carl in a minute. Carl, I see you there, brother. We're going to pick you up, and I'm just extending this offer to you on the air. You're more than welcome to be a contributor to the show. And I really, really think this is going to be something good. I'm going to do all I can to make it something good. So far, that's all the names I have yet. I want to maybe get a couple of more businesses and record a couple of more jingles for commercials. I'm not looking for no money. I'm fine. I'm cool. I'm doing what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I know Sister Jasmine McAlpin, who did a show with me about 3 weeks ago. We're going to get together and put a jingle up for her business. And I'm going to also get with her and see if she might want to be a occasional contributor also with some travel information. So those are the names I've had so far. And I just wanted to put that out there and put on record that these are some of the individuals that we're going to have contributing to this network, which I have yet to name. Jimmy Williams wanted to name it the Bledsoe Communications, but I'm one of those guys that, you know, if I'm in the Temptations, I don't need to be, you know, David Ruffin in the Temptations. We are Temptations. I'd rather it be something that's all inclusive. I don't care to be out front like that. It's a nice thing to do, but I've never been that way. I can deal with being us, all of us together as one, because I'm not doing this by myself. I need every last one of these individuals' names that I've mentioned to be a part, and they have enthusiastically agreed to be a part. I'll throw out one more name, Dee Delores Terrell, who I haven't talked to yet. We were going to do a show this past Sunday, but I ended up having to go to Tulsa for a dispatch. So we're probably going to get together and do it this coming Sunday. But Dee Dee, I know you're out there, and I know you like to do Sundays, so Sundays will be your spot. We'll work it out, though. So that is where we're at with that. And I understand that there's a lot of these networks and stations out there where, you know what, they're just going to have one more. And as far as I'm concerned, the more the better, so long as we have a common goal. We need to get voices out there because we need to wake people up and get them to think outside of the comfort zone, because that comfort zone is killing us. So that's that. Now, at the same time, lately I've been hearing about who are we to judge? I mean, who nobody is to judge. Well, who the hell is, I'm not trying to be a damn judge. I have an opinion. And because you have an opinion don't mean you're trying to judge anything. That means you have a damn opinion. I mean, what would kind of world would we be living in? You think it's bad now? What would it be without opinion? What would it be without any judging? I think that's one of the most lame comments, because it's so blank. It doesn't really say anything, because everybody judges. But anyway, callers, if you, whenever you want to chime in, just hit that number one button. I'll see it and I'll pull you in. We did have a show yesterday. Like I said, Jimmy Williams has a show every Monday, and we did talk yesterday and about a few things. We'll probably repeat some of those things, because I know everybody wasn't in on it. And I'm still waiting to hear the life story of this boy that killed the 9 people in South Carolina. I'm still waiting to hear what his parents are into, if they have any kind of criminal record. What's their background? This is the most quiet serial killer, as far as lack of information, that I've ever seen before. And we know why. I mean, I'm not going to play stupid, but every time I hear about one of us getting arrested, and the first thing they want to do is talk about our backgrounds, but yet and still, this boy here has killed 9 people, and we hear absolutely nothing about his background, nothing about his parents. When it comes to us, it starts at home. But we all know how that is. Oh boy, and people are tripping on this lion. Hypocrites. People trip out on the lion on one day, and then go visit the zoo the next day and see all the caged animals sitting there being tortured out of their habitats. Hypocrites. People bitching about this lion and go eat a hamburger. Go eat some barbecue ribs. Go eat buffalo sandwich. Oh, but this lion is all rare. Okay. I tell you, this is just hypocrisy. It really is to me. We just trip on the wrong things. And I don't think it's, well, I don't know. I'm not really concerned about that lion. I mean, if that's the case, if you're that concerned about the lion, then close the damn zoos and release all them damn animals into their natural habitats and stop torturing them. Putting them in cages. It reminds me of old schoolers back in the day with the Twilight Zone. I don't know if anybody remembers that episode with Roddy McDowell when he... I believe was on a spaceship and ended up somewhere. Next thing you know, he was, he opened the blinds to what he thought was his house, and he looked out, saw all the people out there looking at him, because he had become a zoo exhibit himself. It was deep, very interesting, but that's what it reminds me of. You know, how would we like it? You know, putting being circus acts, you know, you take gang leader and put a pink skirt on him, who's a guy who's used to being king of the neighborhood, and put a pink skirt on him and make him jump through hoops. As soon as he get a chance, he's going to kill your ass, like the lions and tigers have done in the circuses. And what's the first thing they do? They destroy the animal. Sorry. I don't know. But, whatever. Okay, Cecil. Okay, whatever. Good. I mean, hey, life goes on. We got people getting killed every damn day. Somebody's probably getting killed somewhere in the hood as I speak. And we're worried about a damn lion. Well, not me. Moving on. Okay. So I think what I would do is take a break because I'm a little hyper, and I need to get back. I got so many notes spread out here. I'm going to take a break here and come back, and we will pick up where we left off. We'll be right back.
Hey, Chicago, for your next family reunion, call Jimmy Williams of Abstract T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunion expert since 1990, with photo T-shirts and custom printing available. You can see samples of his work on the internet. Search for JimmyWilliamsOnline.com. That's JimmyWilliamsOnline.com, one word. For families wanting reasonable prices, quality service, and good advice at making their family reunion a success, call Jimmy Williams from Abstracts T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunions should always be a happy occasion, and your T-shirts should reflect that. Call Jimmy Williams at 773-690-5366. Your T-shirt man.
Ooh.
Believe it's growing. I think it's going to grow. That's my intention. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited, but I'm actually a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. I got to be real with it. I'm nervous, but I'm confident, especially with adding on the other individuals that are going to be joining the team. It's going to be pretty nice. Looking forward to it. So this wasn't that long to get that in. I'm going to be bringing the caller in a second. I'll bring the caller in right now. It's Brother Kyle Sanderson. Brother Kyle Sanderson, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you. Can you hear me, my brother?
I'm with you, brother. How you doing, man? Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Good about yourself. Yeah,
great.
Man.
Doing great, man.
It's always a pleasure to listen to your show, man. Hey, man, we welcome all the people that you're bringing in, man, because the more dialogue that we can get, I think that's a beautiful thing, man. Of course, you should be nervous because the show is about what you're doing is about to take off, and you can feel it in your stomach. That's where the nervousness come at. And so, hey, man,
yeah.
This venture can really grow, and that's my feeling. And so, you know, I'm here, and however you can use me, however you want to use me, my brother, I'm here with you. I'm here to support you, Jimmy, and the rest of the crew, man. That's what it's about. This is all about. It's a family. It's a family, and it's growth.
You know,
and you made a lot of good points. You mentioned about Cecil. I don't care nothing about Cecil, and I do care about Cecil, but I think that Cecil should have been in the Wild, period. Because one thing about Europeans, if you look at their history, they love their animals more so than human beings. You know, they love their animals. They don't care nothing about human beings, but they love their animals. And here's another fact. For the last century and a half, those Europeans, they've been raping and robbing Africa of all those animals, of all the exotic animals in Africa, and they've been selling them and placing them in zoos all around the world. They've been robbing them, and they've been robbing and raping Africa all over, from Kenya to South Africa. You know, all across Africa. And I think, and they put them in these zoos, which is deplorable, And these animals, torture. They belong in the wild, man. They belong in the wild.
Exactly.
And so
that's,
you know,
if they're going to complain,
that's the bottom line.
If they're going to complain about a lion getting killed, well, if you're that concerned about it, you know, that's why I'm saying people are concerned about that. The next thing you know, they're sitting down eating a double cheeseburger. You know, come on. You know, then they take kids to the zoo and watching these animals in a torturous situation. You know, this is hypocrisy, man. And that's, we got hypocrisy. I hope to do. You know, if we can just get people to think a little more deeper, to come out of that comfort zone, man. Crack that comfort zone, man. I'm telling you, because it's not always a good place to be. Because our thought process is being controlled by a system that's designed to exact stand today as a people, and it's working, and we buy into it like flies on shit.
That's right. And, you know, that's one of the things I feel about animals, man. I mean, we all love animals. You know, we like our dogs and cats, our domestic animals, which is cool. Okay, but even Europeans, they love their domestic animals better than humans. They had one silly woman, she left the dog some millions. Millions. Why would you leave a dog millions? You could have been leaving that money to a foundation that could use that money. You know, while you was living, you should have been donating and doing things with that money. You know, because you can't take it with you. I don't care how much money that you accumulate over the years with your success. You cannot take that money with you. You ever heard the phrase, you never seen a Brinks truck follow a hearse to the cemetery? I know you've heard that one before. Oh, yeah.
I've heard it.
But, yeah, man, that's just one part of it. One of the things that I want for people of color to aspire to do is become economically independent. That's one of the things that I know you probably didn't heard me mention it before, but that's one of the things that I strive for people of color to become economically independent for ourselves. Because we're not going to get that 40 acres in a mule. We're not going to get that. It's already been proven that.
Until we get
our business together.
Well, we got to change how we think, man. Because the way we think,
right,
you know,
man.
Like I always say, man, the truth is a mother, man. It's deep.
Yes, it is.
And it's not being negative. Being negative, as far as I'm concerned, it's being positive, because you're trying to. Until that truth is accepted and understood, then you don't know which way to go. You don't know which way. And first of all, we got to start by liking each other, respecting each other, and trusting each other.
Oh, man.
We have been, the master has done a masterful job on the people. It is so unbelievable how we embrace the very system that's oppressing us. And you can't tell anybody that, because then the tables are turned to make it like you're confused, meaning like I'm confused. But, you know, the way I back out of that and just say, look, if it works for you, then by all means, embrace it. It don't work for me. And I just leave it alone.
Yeah, man. And you're right, man. I think most of that institutionalized or brainwash started with the churches, with religion. That's where it started. That's where it's really killing us. It's the brainwashing started with the churches. I know people don't want to hear, but it started with the religion thing. That's what really got us all screwed up and fucked up, man. I know people don't want to hear it, but that's the truth right there. That's where it started. When you start brainwashing people into believing about religion and about a certain religion, hey, man, that's what's got us all fucked up, especially with a lot of our women. They can't wait to run to Sundays and get that money up to those pimps and stuff, man. And they preaching this nonsense. You know, I'm sick of that, man. That's part of it right there. That's a major part of it. And it's, you know, and with the last couple of years, it really opened my eyes to this institutionalized brainwash that we've been dealing with. And then we think it's okay. We done did it for so long that we feel that it's okay. people probably say this guy is stupid talking like this and crazy. I was reading an article today about Jews. I guess it's Judaism, where in their religion they sacrifice and suck on a baby penis for some kind of religious belief. And this is a true fact. To me, that's diabolical and a sickness. And I'm sure that that is getting around. And then there's a book that they got out, Jews got out, and there's more sickness aspect of their religion. So, hey, man, and you can't, not only Judaism, Catholicism, you know, as well. Perverted. Pastors.
Yeah, it's sad.
Clergymen, whatever.
It's sad when you look. Yeah, you can even, I mean, everybody knows for a fact, you know, the history of the Catholic Church. And I can say it like that because you can imagine what they would be saying, let's say, if the Nation of Islam had that same history. Do you think they'd still be in existence? But yet and still, you know, people are, you know, flocking to me, the Pope, people, you know, and I just understand it, man. I mean, it don't work for me.
No, that don't work for me neither, because when you, the Pope, I mean, here's a man, they looking at him in the light of God, of a God, you know, and that goes to show you right there the brainwashing and how they see this man. They see this man as a figure of some kind of God. And when you look at it, when I look at it, I think it's sick, and not to, and they have a big following. They have a big following of Mexicans, Irish. I mean, they got some black following. You know, hey man, it's huge. They were supposed to be what, the richest religion at one point, and probably still is. You know, I guess they battled with Judaism and Catholicism. I guess they rank it one and two behind each other. But hey, man, I'm not with that. Not now. I don't got too older. I'm older now and I'm wiser. And I don't think a lot in these 58 years. And that's not one of them. So, you know, my thing,
you know,
is,
we also.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing that I can, you know, I can definitely relate to that. So, you know, we got a lot of issues, man.
One thing we yesterday also was that in an interview with Michelle Obama, and having to do with her asking if she could do something over again, who would she want? She and you know, I get, as far as a role model, she doesn't have to be carry on in the manner that she, and it, to me, it's almost disappointing to hear Michelle.
Is that the Beyonce deal?
She is a great, but I wouldn't want my daughter to be like her.
Yeah,
I really
Beyonce
wouldn't.
Beyonce is no role model. Not by a long shot. Beyonce, she's a great entertainer, and she shakes her ass and coochie all over the place, and that's fine. We love her as an entertainer, but as a role model for young women, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Her and Jay-Z, they on this mission to gather and gain so much fame with money. So that's what they think in that sense. This money thing is going to get them to some kind of level, to some kind of high esteem level, is where they can do whatever. So what? If you, with all the monies that they're making and the monies that they have attained, do something do something it's going to benefit. You can't take that money with you because if something happens.
Hold on, but
right now you can't take that money with you, Jay-Z. Beyonce.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Carl.
The first lady, she lost some points with me with that one, man.
Yeah, yep. Hold on one second, Carl. We got another caller on. This is 5159. And we go with caller, are you there? 5159.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
The honor of speaking with. I can hear you loud and clear. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm just great. Who do we have?
Oh, I'm Cheryl Catherine Wash, and I'm listening.
Hey, Cheryl, how are you? How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Glad
you're listening. Glad you're listening. Hope you haven't changed your mind about being on the team.
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. What was the last thing you said?
Okay. Oh, I was saying, hope you haven't changed your mind about joining the team.
Oh, no. I'm excited.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show when I mentioned all of the new teammates that were going to be joining the network. And
I apologize. I was late joining the call.
Oh no, that's fine. I was just saying that I mentioned you and that you know all this started with the exception of a couple of people. I think I have 8 or 9 names here. All this came about by reading posts, engaging in dialogues from some of the posts that you have put on Facebook. You have a way of putting posts on that generate dialogue and conversation. That's what I appreciate.
I appreciate you taking the time out to put us together because that's what we need. We need someone that can organize it because I believe that. Because I looked at the names and I'm very familiar with some of the other people that you tagged. So I know that
right.
We all got the same vision and mission, but, you know, it's always good to have a leader. So I actually appreciate you. And hello, everybody.
Oh, yes. I really want to get this guy rolling because I'm going into my third year. And I actually interviewed Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. And that was an honor. I'm still humbled by that one. I'm going to try to get her on again.
Wow. Okay.
And, I want to do, we have voices like ours that need to be heard. We may not necessarily agree on everything, but that's the same common ground. And we can disagree and still be cool. And
exactly.
That's what I like. I think everybody I have mentioned here are really down to earth. Will, you know, bring it as it is. And, you know, we're going to let it flow. Brother Carl Sanderson, this girl, Catherine Walsh, she's going to wash. Be one of the most when we begin to expand.
How
so
you
can welcome.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
All right. Well, I was listening. So sorry I joined late. We had an event here in the neighborhood. Officer Friendly, actually. They had, I'm in Chicago, and they had like an event at the police station from 4 to 8, like how kids used to play in the old days from 4 to 8. So it was really nice. So, other than that, I would have been on time.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's no problem. Well, this was just I added this show kind of at the last minute, and what I really want to do, what I'm going to do before we go into each individual show, I want to get together with each new member, and we're going to do like a roundtable show, and I won't ask you now, but I'm going to ask you then, and, you know, about this show is going to be yours, Cheryl. I mean, you're gonna have and speak what you want to talk about. You're going to have on as a guest who you want to have on. I'll be at the controls. I'll organize everything, but I'm not here to try to guide you and to control what you do. This is going to be your thing on this network.
Awesome. Love that.
And that goes through true for everybody. So I'm going to be contacting we probably won't get started till so the 1st of September. I'm going to be out of town big time in the middle of the month. When I come back, we're going to get this rolling. We'll come up with dates and preferred times. I have the rights to 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. Depending on how things go, I might add the rights to 3 hours a day, but we'll start with the two and we'll roll with it and we'll just transition as we go along.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Brother Carl.
No, I was just listening to the comment that she said that while she was late, they was doing a forum like the kids could play, you know, so how we used to play from like 4 to 8 without no conflicts. And of course we picked among ourselves and stuff. And that was, but we handled that and our parents handled that. And when you mention that 4 to 8 thing, that just goes back to, as they say, about raising a kid. It takes a village to raise our kids. Maybe we need to try to get back to that. But how can we incorporate that with the talents that we have now where the kid, you know, they got their own language. They, you know, they're taking over their parents' houses, you know, and they just doing their own thing, you know. So, you know, that's, you know, we need to get back to that, to those type of livings.
Yes, and it's very challenging today because I have a teen daughter and I'm in Chicago and I was raised old school. So all of our morals and values are old school and I am challenging my own child. So I can't even imagine some of the other, you know, people who may not have that type of upbringing, so they don't even have that instilled in them, because sometimes I get tired. But I know, you know, I look up because, you know, I still have a grandmother, my mom, my aunt. I still look, if my child failed, I'm going to look like a failure. So even when I want to sometimes just like, oh, God, I don't feel like it. Let me call and see where she's at. What is she doing? Because my mother's going to call me and go, where's your daughter at? You know, so it takes, like you say, it takes a village. It takes family. It takes a lot. So when people don't have that, I don't want to say it's sad because I want to seem like it's hopeless, but I can see how challenging it could be. Because I have a support system and I'm still challenged. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Okay.
No one.
Go ahead, Brother Carl.
Nobody's perfect in this little short life, but you know, we got to make it where, you know, we have a lot of challenges, as you know, with all the cop killing that's been going on with black women and men across this land. You know, that challenge there is, you know, cease quick in a hurry, because if it don't, it's going to be chaos. I think a lot of people of color getting real disenchanted with that treatment, where you continue to kill our people, you know, killing women and killing men, you know, because they don't look like you and they don't speak like you. And you can get away with it. The most part, you can get away with it. You know, you can put a $1 million bond up and you still can get bonded out. You know, this nonsense has got to stop, you know, across the land. This is definitely going to have to stop, because killing these senseless, killing women and men, I mean, when is enough,
and,
you know, and the justice system has failed us. The justice system has failed us, point blank. That's why the young brother, he ran out of here and resigned, and now he, you know, and the lady has it now. You know, I don't even call his name, because he was useless, and that's why he ran out, and he had a chance to make a difference. If they put you there on that pedestal and gave you that spot, Obama did, and you did absolutely nothing. So the Justice Department is under a lot of scrutiny as well. And, you know, the laws need to be changed how they deal with people of color. I'm very, you know, sick and tired of the killings of brothers and sisters by these racist cops. You know, that's got to change.
Let me ask you this, mm-hmm. Cheryl. Have you thought about, and if not, what type of format you're looking for, or what type of, you know, what angle you approach it? Has that happened yet?
Well,
As far as your show is concerned?
Currently, you know, I have Kathleen Capel and I, we do a blog talk show. We do, we call it Highest Good. And the format that I'm like, what we normally do is kind of just, we pick a topic and we have like bullet points and we kind of talk just like how we're doing now. We talk through them, but we right. have a, like some type of, you know, some type of framework. So when people leave the call or the podcast, they can learn something. So we may, like, for example, I'm sorry, what's your name that was just speaking?
Carl.
It's Carl.
Carl. Mm-hmm. Carl, yes. Carl, okay, you were, like, for example, you were talking about the officer or the killings. Now, that's overwhelming to me because I'm one of those people who lived in Chicago. I'm 48 years old. I'll be 49 this year. And I've never in my life been arrested. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't pulled over. That doesn't mean that I didn't have a racist cop. I personally don't understand how anyone confuses compliance with submission. If you know you ran a red light or you know you touched your brake and go to California roll, or if you know you didn't use your signal, yes, it could be a petty violation, but it's still a violation. So if somebody walk up to my window and they clearly pulling me over for some garbage, like you're sitting here thinking like you got a million things you really could be doing and you want to pull me over. Come on now, it's rush hour. You know I'm going to work. You know I'm not on nothing. And you really want to do this. That's the energy that you want to give them. But the whole thing is, what I don't understand is that why fight that? Like, why give them your, to me, it's like you're giving them power because when they come over and you just say, hey, don't say anything. Give me your license. Don't talk. Don't, you know, it's just like, well, I just want, be quiet. Shut up. Okay. That's like, okay, like, why are you going there? But do I want to argue with him or do I want to go to work? So I'm just like, okay, give them the stuff up. Come back. Well, you know, you did this. I say, well, the light was yellow or what have you. Okay, I'll let you go this time. Have a nice day. But a lot of times it's like, I know it's not right that what they do, but why are we, it's like, I feel like a lot of people are telling people to just like,
I know where you're going. I know exactly where you're going.
Right, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I want to answer this question real fast.
Let me answer this question.
Okay. I'm going to stop there, but you know where I'm going, right? So
mm-hmm.
I was going to say the way that sometimes I think that what may be helpful with when we have the topics is that if you're going to say enough is enough, I don't think everybody has the cognitive ability to understand when not to get killed. Okay. I don't want to see another black man getting killed because somebody is saying I'm tired of them killing us. So if you're going to have a call, then why not have, this is how you tell them not to search. Am I being detained? I have a right to do this. Can you call for a supervisor? At least on the laws. So one of the things that I was doing on our show was that here's 10 things that, I'm just making this up right now. Here's 10 things not to do if you get pulled over. Now, somebody's going to always challenge it. I can smoke in my car. I can do this. May Miss Bland rest in peace. But I'd rather her be here because she was a powerful voice.
Yeah.
Her dying, to me, it hasn't moved the movement. It's sad.
It happened. But she didn't ask for that. She didn't know she was about to die. She didn't know that they was going to keep her for 3 days. Why are you holding her for 3 days?
He kept saying, I'm going to give you a warning. I would have just took the warning.
He was about to give her a warning.
You have a right to smoke in your car, but if you got a crazy pulling you over, that's like arguing with a crazy person. Literally. It's like, haven't you been on the street and seen a hobo or
somebody that just been talking to themselves and they just looking for somebody to get aroused. And if you just walk on past and they keep on moving, why do I have to tackle that common
okay.
guy?
Absolutely. Now what about the brother in New York that got choked out? What happened? What about the brother in New York that supposedly been selling cigarettes? So now you just gonna choke him to death? You choking him out, and you got 6-7 cops choking him out. Didn't they have something else better to do besides choke a brother out because he was allegedly selling some little cigarettes? Come on now.
Right, but when they tell him to go down, they don't. They resist.
Well, I don't really think. I just think the brother was so big. He was just so big that this was like, oh, target practice for him. Well, I'm going to get him down. I'm going to show him that I'm going to. I don't really think the brother was resisting. You know, I just think that he was just.
Most of the tapes I see, they don't warrant what happens to them. No. But if they tell me, don't move, I'm not moving because I know they're crazy. That's all I'm saying. It's like you're going into a lion and saying that's exactly how.
What's your name again, young lady?
Cheryl. I'm Cheryl.
Cheryl, that's exactly how me and Keith and I've been surviving. We're both 58, and we've been complying. We've been complying for over years. That's why we still
that's why
here.
I'm here.
That's why we
I know,
are here.
I get it, right? I get it. You're talking to the choir.
When is your show on?
We don't have a scheduled time. We just record them and then put a podcast out there.
Okay, that's I have a little roving show. When I do it, but I'm trying more. And even the shows that you do, it doesn't have necessarily a set date type of thing. We don't go with it. We're just going to be and be variety.
But what you're doing is important because, see, we all have a whole bunch of little stuff. It's like collaboration is key. That's how people become successful. You collaborate and you come together.
Yeah.
And I like the way you started. You made it clear that I'm not trying to dictate. I'm not trying to. You just know that we, like you said, there's a common denominator here, and we can stand on each other and even do something greater. And I think that's powerful.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I need the voices of everybody. I have my pet peeve things that I have a definite solid opinion on, and make a lot of sense with them. But everybody else has something that I don't have and that I need. They have a knowledge base that I need and can use that I don't necessarily have. And I probably have the same thing for some of you all, you know, it's just trying to think beyond the comfort zone.
I want to ask Carl, since Carl was the one that says that he has complied, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Carl, since you have complied, but you make the comment about you're all a killings, then what is your angle? Like, how do we address this then? If we are in compliance and they're still killing us, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts on the killings is they real extreme. My thing is, look, I'm not. Well, if it continues to happen, here's what I foresee. I foresee a revolution. I foresee blacks rebelling against the system big time. That's what I see. If this cop killing continues, because most of the young cats, they're going to say, well, hey, we don't have nothing to lose. What do we have to lose? I think white Americans got more to lose than anything. So that's how I see it's going. It's going down as a rebellion thing. That's why it's a lot of hate already. The hate is there. It's more Europeans. They're more hateful than us because actually people of color, we're spiritual people.
and we always forgive and forget. We forgive and forget. We buy from everybody. We buy from Arabs, Koreans, Jews. We buy from everybody. We the number one spender on the face of America. You understand? So, hey, you know, I see if there's no changes made through the justice system, which I don't see, I think blacks going to start taking up on their own. Just, you know, it's just like it was a killing this Saturday where a black guy in Memphis, he killed a white cop. Did you see that? Yes, I saw that.
Yes.
Yes, and, you know, you're going to get more of that. You know, you're going to get – the country is going to shit. That's what's happening.
Well, the thing is,
as long as we
– like we've talked about – like we talked about, hold on. Well, like we talked about on the show, while people are looking up into the sky instead of looking into the mirror, the cave mentality and the mentality, they have infiltrated the police department, all law enforcement, the court systems, politics, the doctor's offices, the teachers, and that's what they are up to. They are 30 years ahead of us. What we're trying to figure out 30 years ago. So. That's why I want to do this show, to get people to think a little deeper, because our thinking is just too shallow.
But I think with the internet, we can catch up, though.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's my whole goal here, to get people to think a little. I can't control where they go with it, but I would like for them to think a little deeper and don't just accept what the system puts in front of their face.
Think out the box.
But I think that I don't want to say all, but you guys may help me here. My challenge is truly believing that I don't know if this is something that is innate, or I mean, like, it's just in our DNA, but I do believe that there seems to be a challenge with looking in the mirror. Is for some reason we want to blame God or the devil or the white man. It just seems like it's so hard for a black person to say, yes, that's true. But whatever condition I'm in right now is really because of the choices I made. We know that we all could be better off if it wasn't a racist world, but I can't say any challenge I'm having right now is due to a white man. That's the part I don't get.
I understand why you don't get that. I wish you would have heard us earlier. Did you hear the part about institutionalized? How we've been institutionalized and captivated with this church thing and this religion thing. Right. That's and it's hard. That chain is hard to break. Like Keith was saying, we're trying to get back 30 years. They 30 years ahead of us, and we're trying to nip that. We're trying to get that back. You see, we still chasing.
But I still don't understand how can. In 2015, how can anybody still say I'm messed up because of the white man? You're not.
That's why we're doing the show. Because that's easy to say.
Huh?
It's easy to say. We always flock to the easy stuff. That's the easy thing to say to somebody else. The easiest thing to do.
I've made money. Same thing as a white person with my education have made. Any choice I made is because or any mistake I made, if I overspend, if I do whatever, I'm doing it because I'm doing it. I don't know where the white person come in at. I just don't get it. I do understand that, okay, if it was a better world, maybe with my intelligence or my drive, I could be maybe a VP or something like that. But that's white people too. That's everybody. I mean, everybody knows that they probably could be somewhere else if it was a perfect world. I still don't understand the blame thing. And when I see a white person walking down the street, I want to flag off their car and go burn stuff. I am so lost. I'm not connected to that. And I grew up on the southeast side of Chicago. We were not even middle class. So people inbox me, go, are you black? Are you this and that? I'm like, yeah, they call me coon. Somebody called me a Negro bear wench. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Just because I don't blame the white man for my current condition, I have a choice. What if me go put a gun to another black man's head and want to blow his head off because somebody hung somebody 300 years ago? I don't understand.
Yeah. You know, Keith and I, we're successful at what we do. You know, we make the money, and we've been successful with raising family and taking care of our kids, and we've done all that. Now we're giving back, trying to relate and open people's minds for a change, you see. That's what we're about. There's a lot of us that's been successful, like yourself, Keith and I, Jimmy. We've been there. So this is why this is why Keith is working with this forum that he's trying to set up.
But
so we
why are we not blaming
everybody, Keith is not changed. He's not blaming white men for downfall, and I'm not either. But see, because we both educated and have, you know, white man, we have degrees and whatnot, if that means anything. But, you know, and we're successful.
Well, that's
all blacks.
Those people who don't have degrees, how do they blame a white man?
There's a lot of those are the ones that's saying, that's blaming, that's in the blame game. They insecure. They don't have nothing to look forward to because they've been disenfranchised from the system. And a lot of it started in the home. A lot of it started in the school system. You know, they wasn't getting enough for the school system, or they wasn't getting enough, period. So, yes, I don't like to hear that neither, about get out there and get it yourself. You can't just blame the white man for everything. I'm with you on that one.
I don't want to hear that.
I don't
know a black person with a white man standing at their front door and saying, you can't go to school. You can't do this. Neither did I. Okay.
If they blame the white man.
If I lose everything in the state of Illinois. If I lose everything in the state of Illinois, I'm going downstate and I'm going to live with Romer and his family in that mansion. That's what I'm But no, I understand exactly what you're saying, though, Cheryl.
I don't get it. Anything that happened to me, it was because I did it. I still don't understand. Or even if the system wasn't great, so we didn't know about enrichment programs when we were growing up, but what I did know about, I still didn't do my best in it. So it didn't matter.
Right.
It's like it's certain
right.
people that...
Everybody don't think like you. Everybody don't think like you, Cheryl. That's what...
They blame someone else, then that they don't have to blame themselves. As simple as that. Mm-hmm. Is that the fairy mirror syndrome? Blaming somebody else, you don't have to blame it on you. If you leave hands of whoever, then you can just sit back. As though leaving it in somebody else's hands, come on your without you getting off your butt and going. See, it's that comfort zone. Just to tell you, he students, massive, some honor roll students.
Right, that's the part. It just kind of burns my butt because when I see black people fighting each other and then they want to go and then fight over a flag, it's just like. Where's the logic here? Like, where are your priorities at? You killing people, but you mad because somebody got up a flag. I'm just like, it's too much confusion. It's just like, but where are our black leaders? And then why are we not focusing on those people versus the flag? What do I want to go and protest a flag for when I can't even get the people stop shooting on 79th Street?
Exactly. And you know what? To mention about that flag, you know, about that Confederate flag.
That makes me sick. I hate that.
Well,
to me, that's embarrassing.
What about that flag with the 50 stars on it? United States of America, that red and white flag with all those states on that. We have been doing much killing under that flag than that Confederate flag. Look at the
it's all,
that we've been through.
All, right.
under that
it
flag,
doesn't mean nothing.
The slavery
it's a flag.
And the hangings
it's just
and
a
stuff.
Flag.
Yeah, but look
but
at look what all the atrocities we have
white.
Endured with that flag. So you know
even, that's true too. But just think even on the positive side, though. I agree, but I'm just saying if you just think positive. There are people who believe in American dream that just not violent, not so-and-so, so-and-so, just like there's Confederate flag lovers who really believe in Southern pride. There's a lot of black people that believe in the Confederate flag. It's not all for the KKK or the racism thing.
That's
so it's
where
just
the
like,
brainwashing is came in. That's exactly what we're talking about. The brainwashing for over 100 years or so with that Confederate flag. Exactly.
They killed
a
black
a lot
man
of people, a lot of Southerners, they believe in that. They believe in that.
You saw they killed the black man, right?
Look, the American flag has done more against us than the doggone Confederate flag. That red, white, and blue has been dirt in the Confederate flag.
Just show
what I'm gonna do.
They just want to be angry, and that's what I think we need to address.
I hear you.
What about the little white boy that killed 9 innocent black people that was, you know, that was at the church giving themselves to God?
Well, I'm
going to
be honest. You want me to tell you the truth? This is an open line, so I might want to not say this.
Here's the thing.
I know. That's why I said I'm going to try to be diplomatic because may they rest in peace and they have family and friends. So I never want to appear insensitive. But here's the thing. The black church has let down a lot of people. The black church.
Don't get me started.
Way. Okay. So I don't want to be disrespectful because that was a tragedy.
That was tragic.
I'm going to tell you one thing. If a strange black person would have walked in that church and said they would have been more on top of it than the white boy coming in there. And the thing is, they let their guards down because a lot of times people be in church just to say they in church. They Snapchat Dylan, may he rest in peace, one of the victims, was making jokes about Dylan when he was supposed to be in Bible study. What is that? That is, to me, that's already darkness. If you're supposed to be in Bible study, why are you making fun of the blind-haired kid in there and texting it back out to people? Because they actually had pictures of Dylan in the group study. So to me, it just goes to show you the darkness that we don't talk about among ourselves. A lot of times these churches today got a lot of dark stuff going on. They're no different than some of the other organizations. And so if you are planning darkness, you attract darkness.
You ain't got no argument for me. You get me started. I had to
get a 3-hour. I'm going to be there because it's a very tragic.
Well, if you would have heard us early, if you would have heard us earlier, I knocked the church big time. And how we keep, I knocked the church big time. And, you know, that's a lot of our, you're right. The church is, to me.
The women go to church, the pastor is married, and they go to church flirting with the pastor. It doesn't make sense. The logic doesn't make sense. They fight within the
and
church.
They all know.
They broke. They're going to church, but they spend all their money to get dressed up. And then people have told me that you got to dress up for God. Who are you really dressing up for? That don't even make any sense. It's like nothing you're saying is making sense.
You
spend all your
20?
Money. You're going to church praying to keep your lights on, but you really got your light bill on in your shoes, your $300 hairdo, all this stuff. It's all hypocrisy. So why wouldn't the devil be in there? It's already in
there. You got to dress up T.L. Barry. You got to dress up the pastor, too. You got to dress them up, too, now.
Excuse me, but
you got to make
sure. They gift the car. They gift in Chicago. I know pastors where the people, they say they want their pastor to have a Cadillac. And some of these people I know, these are women who are struggling with children. And they want to borrow money, but they put everything in church. And I'm not speaking against it. I'm just saying that it makes me wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Where are people's hearts really at?
And humble opinion, the devil has infiltrated. In fact,
exactly.
Nobody even.
And did they say the church doors are open?
Hold on.
Guess what? One way.
Hold,
because those people
hold on.
Don't go back out.
Nobody even.
It's going in
devil,
and out.
Even to give credit. It's. I don't know if you can hear me, okay? But I just say this: the devil has infiltrated too many churches, not all of them, because there are some great churches, but there are too many churches that have been infiltrated by the satanic and the people. Like love it even more. Oh, I agree. Don't get me started, because I've had an angel right there on your Facebook page, Cheryl, with a brother who was trying to talk to me, and I just the way I felt, and that was probably one of the most interesting religious I've had in my 5 years on Facebook.
Yeah, I posted a post where they were fighting. The police had to actually come. I don't know if you saw that. Did you ever see that clip of they showed the church down south? They were physically fighting. The entire church had it out where the police had to come and arrest people because they wanted the pastor to be gone, and they had a vote, or it was a voting day. But it was insane.
Oh, I saw that.
It was 99% women.
That's right.
Over one man. This is nuts.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna take a quick break. Come back when I get a closing statement from Brother Carl and a closing statement from you, Sister Cheryl, and
okay.
We'll close the night. But I like to get a closing statement. That's one thing I do on every show. I get a closing statement from each guest, and we roll with that. And we'll be right back.
The police. We're talking about the police. The police. We're talking about the police.
Silence! I can't take this shit no more.
Okay, and we're back, and Cheryl, Carl already knows this, but Cheryl, one thing about the shows that I do, I'm always going to throw down some old school, because I think that as our music has gone, so have we. And if I can do one thing, I can't change in this station, old school is going to be living and alive, because if we can, that'll be one of the necessities we need to get out of back. That's on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I love that music.
I enjoyed it.
Brother Carl, go ahead and give us a closing statement, Brother Carl, and we'll go with Cheryl, and we will close it out for the night.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I'm pulling through, man, I'm just hoping that, you know, that people of color can work on becoming economically independent for ourselves, man. That's one of the main things, you know. We have to work on becoming economically independent. And then by doing that, Cheryl, hopefully with all the money that we spend in America, why can't we become economically independent for ourselves? And then that'll help stopping what white folks are doing for you in that kind of mess, you know, or we won't have to worry about what the white man is, what he going to do for us if we become economically independent for ourselves. It's a challenge, yes, and it's going to take time, but we spend enough money to be running our own things and pull our resources together. That's what we need to do. We need to stop worrying about, is Cheryl going to beat me out for $5 or $10 and whatnot? We can't worry about that. We got to pull our resources together so we can become a monopoly. That's what I'm on. And that's one thing that I aspire, you know, to work on. Thanks. I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
No problem, Brother Carl, anytime.
That was really great. And that makes a lot of sense. I would like to close by first saying, you know, thank you so much, Keith Bless. So thank you so much for the opportunity and reaching out. It's just good to know God is amazing. You're like an affirmation letting us know that sometimes we feel like we're just out there and God letting us know somebody's listening. So keep doing what you're doing and we're going to figure it out. And it's just a reminder that it's not so much that like what the seed that we're putting down right now, we may not even, you know, we may not be here when the change comes, just like King didn't get the lid to see Obama, but his work
exactly
is why Obama is in that White House. So we have to realize that, unfortunately, no one likes to be a martyr, but, you know, Jesus had to bear the cross. You know, even if you don't believe in Jesus, you understand the story that somebody very, you know, his father was God and he had to carry the cross. He didn't do anything wrong and he had people betray him and he tried to heal and people laughed at him, you know? So it's like always look at that story just as a model that there are a lot of people in this world that will never get credit for their work. People always talk about what white people don't do there or what black people didn't do. But we are in America right now and you're able to put this show on because Somebody complied for somebody else to rebel and run away. But it still took white people and black people to run the Underground Railroad to get people up north. So that's the part. That's my mission. I'm into diversity. I believe that all of us did it. There's no one of anything. It took anything that a white person have, black people. And when I say black or white, I'm talking about everybody else in between. Indians, Asians, Mexicans, Hispanics, right. But, you know, just the whole race thing, black versus white, we did this together. So that's my thing is that I would like people to be open to understanding that what happened 300 years ago, we have to learn from it, but it doesn't have to predict our future. I would like to see less anger and more tapping into the resources and understanding that Harriet Tubman, King, all those people still were working with other white people. So, yes, we do want to build our own, you know, our worth financially, but we still have to understand that you have to unite. Japan, they unite with us, you know, Korea, all those countries, much as they may hate us, they still learn how to be diplomatic and work with other people of power to gain their own power. So I just want to add that I don't believe I'm an expert in anything. I come, you know, I always feel like I've been a long way off and I still have a long way to go. But I believe destiny, you know, is looking me right in the face and is saying that you've been chosen to do this and it's going to be all right. So I just want to make sure that, you know, anybody that listened to the podcast or was listening live, no offense by any of my statements. I say them more because I'm looking for more feedback so I can understand and can be a better person and can better articulate, because I never want to feel that I'm coming across as a person should. I want to have empathy, but a lot of times, sometimes it just takes different people to say a different way for people to get it. So thank you for the platform. I love it. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you, Carl. And again, thank you again, Keith.
You're welcome.
And you're welcome. And I'll be talking.
All righty.
Going to get that round with never. Full power, peace, and
I'm not afraid to